T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The New Orleans Pelicans have lost 3 in a row, as Mark Menard on the Sports Flash and at Master Control has described. And we're going to bring Mark in right now. He's intermittently jumped in the show as we've kind of mixed in some Pelicans conversation. But I want to go back to the Wizards' loss. What happened there, Mark?
I have to pull up the box score. You didn't tell me you were going to start with that. But what I do want to play for you is what Eric Bledsoe had to say after that Knicks game, because we've talked about it a little bit, about what he had to say
and lack of concentration.
Yeah, I want you to hear it. I want everybody out there to hear it from his lips. This is the question and then the answer.
Was the plan when they tied it up? I mean, like, was it conveyed in the huddle that you guys were supposed to foul?
Yeah, and I wasn't paying attention, lack of focus, and you three. Girls got downhill.
Wasn't paying attention, lack of focus.
Huh? What?
How? I just don't get how that happens.
Me neither. I don't understand it.
And we talk about how this is a young team, but this is not a young player. Eric Bledsoe is a veteran. He's the veteran presence on this team, and he's the guy that they kept after the trade of Drew Holiday to the Milwaukee Bucks. He has not played up to the potential that we saw from him in Milwaukee at all this year.
And does he want out?
I would imagine he probably does, but to me, even regarding that, like, this is a new low. I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, but I mean, that's
right.
to say you weren't paying attention and you didn't know what you were supposed to do on a play that we've already heard Coach Van Gundy say a high schooler could execute it. It's something that's pretty simple when your opponent needs 3 points to tie the game and send it to overtime, and they're taking the ball in and there's only 7 seconds left. You execute a foul to make them shoot 2 free throws so they can't get the 3 points they need. And then, and maybe you extend the game a little bit, and then maybe they get it later. But at least, you got a chance to run the clock out after that and see what happens. And to not execute that play is inexcusable at this point.
Play that again. I want to hear it again. It's that disturbing and bothersome.
Was the plan when they tied it up? I mean, like, was it conveyed in the huddle that you guys were supposed to foul?
Yeah, and I wasn't paying attention, lack of focus, and you three. Girls got downhill and made a great play.
I've coached, I haven't coached basketball, but I've coached kids at the 10, 11-year-old, 12, 13, 14-year-old age. I can understand if that was a 10-year-old or 11-year-old saying that, lack of focus, I wasn't paying attention. But for a grown man in the NBA, it's inexplicable to me.
The one thing I don't know from that quote is whether he's talking about not paying attention in the huddle when they were describing the play, or not paying attention, like losing focus of Derrick Rose.
Either
one,
way,
once he's guarding, and they're both bad. I just want to be clear that I'm not putting words in the guy's mouth. I don't know which one of those he's talking about. To me, they're both equally bad, that you lose focus at such a crucial point in the game when this is what you're paid to do.
See, those are the kind of moments that you go, I traditionally don't subscribe to the fixing of games, but when you have that as your excuse, you wonder, are the games being fixed? She's shaving points? And I know it just makes me wonder that. I'm not saying he is, but it makes me wonder that. So how could you have such a gross lack of focus that you don't foul the guy? I don't understand it. Mark, we've said it. We joke on this show about basketball in particular not being my total cup of tea. But even I know that you got to foul in that situation.
Right. And you know, I've talked all year about this being a young team and me giving them, you know, the benefit of the doubt. But I don't do that for Eric Bledsoe because he's not a young player. He's the guy who's supposed to be one of the leaders on this team and a mentor and a veteran presence. That's why they kept him around. And, you know, to have that kind of a brain fart, basically, in such a crucial moment of the game. Huh. I'm at a loss for words, honestly, because it's not something, you know. First of all, you don't expect it to happen, and then second of all, you don't expect him to come out and just so nonchalantly say that's what happened, you know.
And nobody challenged him after that, like, hey, you're okay with offering that?
He did not speak to the media very long, so you know, I don't know. I wasn't on the Zoom chat after the game,
right.
But I don't know. I don't know what else, you know, could have been said. I think, honestly, if you ask my opinion, I think people were just stunned by the answer.
Yeah,
it's one of those things where you don't expect that to be what he says, and then it almost stupefies you to the point where you really don't know what to ask after that.
I appreciate his candor. I do. Because a lot of guys would have answered that totally differently. But because he was willing to answer with so much candor, that's what makes me believe that he's not happy here. He wants out of here, just like Eric Gordon wanted out of here. You know, and I don't think he wants to say it necessarily, per se. He's going to let his actions do that and hopefully let them, you know, he didn't want to maybe be a bad guy and ask to get out of there, but by his play, he might play his way out of here.
Well, don't forget, Eric Bledsoe is the guy that just a few years ago was unhappy with one of his previous stops in the NBA and simply tweeted out, "I don't want to be here." So he's not a guy who's shy about, you know, sharing his feelings in terms of his home team and you know, where he's playing if it's a place he doesn't want to be. But I wonder, you know, you have to wonder because of his history if that's just, you know, a bad attitude poor focus coming out of the fact that, you know, like you said, maybe he doesn't want to be here. We know he was traded here. We know he didn't choose to come here. But, you know, if we saw a little bit of the same thing from J.J. Redick, where, you know, there was places he wanted to be, but his play didn't give him any value to trade him to the places he wanted to be. And Eric Bledsoe, if there's a place he'd rather be, he's not playing in a way that would allow the Pelicans any leverage in a trade to get him to where he wants to be, because the team he might want to play for isn't going to give up anything for a guy who's playing the way he is. He's shown flashes at times this season where he was engaged and he played some of the defense that we had come to expect when that we saw in Milwaukee that we haven't seen here in New Orleans. We've seen flashes of it, but only brief flashes. And to me, that's, you know, he's not going to be a guy who's going to be here next season. Whether they trade him in the offseason or outright cut him, I really don't think he has a future on this team. It's just sad to see that, you know, if that's truly, you know, what it is, contributing to his attitude, then it's sad to see him going down this road at the end of the year when, you know, there's not much time in the season left. You could play out the string and give yourself some value because he's only hurting himself at this point.
Well, to a degree, but I don't know. I'm moving on from that. So about a week ago, we were pretty excited about this team. Maybe they had, you know, turned the corner, so to speak, or maybe they had, you know, started to get some life and maybe things were starting to turn around for them. And then they hit us with this three-game losing streak. I'm done. I can no longer get on the hype train. I don't care if they win three more in a row, four more in a row. I told you that they hadn't won more than three in a row all year long. And they needed a six-game winning streak, and that's why I didn't believe that they could do that.
Well, they won four in a row at one point. That four is okay. Their longest winning streak so far this season. What I would say is we've come to the one thing we know about this team is that we never know what to expect. So it seems like they tend to play down to their competition when they're playing teams that are on the lower side of the standings, and they seem to play up to their competition when they're playing the better teams. It doesn't always result in wins, but sometimes it does. And they've got a stretch coming up here where, you know, starting tomorrow night, where they're playing some of the better teams in the NBA. And at this point, I just don't know what to expect. So it's possible they could reel off a few wins we don't expect to, and it would contrast with how poorly they played against teams that, you know, we expected them to beat. Now, look, the New York Knicks are not a slouch. They're not the Knicks that we've seen over the past decade or so. They're playing a better brand of basketball this year, and they're going to be probably a playoff team in the East, which is not something you could say about them recently. Even when they had Kristaps Porzingis as the next big thing, the Knicks have been, you know, drowning in the doldrums of the NBA for quite some time, and they are starting to turn that team around under Tom Thibodeau. But, you know, what I expected was an even matchup and that they would probably split the series. I didn't expect two losses in three games when, you know, they could have won that second one. Yeah, that sequence at the end of the game with 7 seconds to play was the difference between them, you know, splitting the series with the Knicks and having a little bit of, you know, momentum heading into a tough stretch of the schedule, or continuing a slide that is now a 3-game skid. And it shows you how consequential some of these moments are in these games when, you know, a lack of focus is so, you know, is so detrimental to the team. And I think that's why it's so disappointing. There's a little bit of blame to go on Lonzo Ball as well, because Lonzo shouldn't have left Reggie Bullock under any circumstances. You let Derrick Rose have a layup in that situation. You're still up by one with the ball, and you know, you're going to get fouled and have a chance to win it at the free throw line probably, because there's not going to be a ton of time left after that. But, you know, Lonzo's mistake, it pales in comparison to the lack of awareness from Eric Bledsoe.
They're schizophrenic. Is that a good way to put it? As a team? I mean, they
perhaps,
got dual personalities.
Yeah, perhaps. You know, it just seems like, you know, and look, that's another mark of a young team is, you know, playing down to your competition and losing close games is another mark of a young team is, you know. It's like anything else. You know, we say this all the time in the NFL. When a team has a bunch of losses by, you know, a touchdown or less one season, usually we expect them, if they're young, to make the jump next year. And I think that's going to be the case with this Pelicans team. I think that we're going to see a jump next season. But they're going to have to add some pieces to this roster, and they're going to have to get rid of a couple of pieces who aren't pulling their weight.
WWL's Mark Menard, great job as always, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.